I don't know if you know the Great Lakes is Rwanda, Burundi, and the Eastern DRC, and also went further into Uganda and into Kenya. And I want to give a report back and give thanks to God for what He has actually done in this. So what is our vision? Our vision is to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known and go and partner with the Holy Spirit. And that's not just my mandate. That's every one of our mandates, what God has got for us to go forward in Him. So where did we go? Just to start off, we flew into Kigali in Rwanda, the capital, and then we ministered in the context of Kigali with the leaders there and into the local churches on the Sunday. And then we flew to Bujumbura, and we ministered with a group of men and women that are working. We're trying to build a team that will minister into the local church. We call it a translocal team. We ministered to them for a week, and then we ministered in the churches there and to the leaders there. And then that was the second week. Then we moved. I went across to Kampala, and then we went from there. We went all the way through to Western Uganda to a church that relates to us or partners with us, and then went back to Kampala, ministered to the leaders in the church there, and then I flew to Nairobi, and then I ministered in the church there led by David Carew. I'll show him now, and we ministered there. Then I flew back home. So it was quite a busy time running around, but all good in God. So there's the first picture, the beauty of God's creation, just to see on the wings, the beautiful sunset. So here's the first Saturday in Kigali, and we're ministering with the elders there, and people have been hospitable. And I want to just say, when you're going to a context of a foreign nation, don't try and stay in the restaurants. Go and eat their food. Go and be in their homes. These people are poor. Sometimes they're embarrassed, but I don't want them to be embarrassed. Their food and eat their food, even when it's sometimes you don't seem that you can stomach it, but go and eat that stuff because it's such an honor to be there. And you know, it just breaks down those cultural barriers, because there's major cultural barriers whenever you travel to any context. Our culture is not their culture, and their culture is not our culture. Even though we have a common kingdom culture, it is still different, and they do things differently. But when you go into that and you break that down, it's just a wonder how God just brings a bond as you build relationships and friendships. Then we went to a church of the Nazarene on the Sunday, and I preached into that. There was another guy named Brad Land from the Crossing Church who was with me. He preached in the Glory of Christ Church. They do church differently. Us Muzungus, which is the white man, likes to be on time and leave on time. That's the problem, leave on time. They don't have a problem with leaving on time. They will continue from 8 o'clock, and they will go through to 1 o'clock. And they got the kids in the meeting. And the kids I don't know what they do with their kids. I don't know what they've got there, some panada or something, boy, but they're not noisy. They sit and they're quiet. So we had an opportunity to minister into this local church. They do it very much like the American model, where you come in, you have a prayer meeting, then you have Bible school. And they do Bible training before you actually do the main meeting. And they discuss the word, and there's questions and answers. And, you know, I want to just say something. These people are very intelligent there, and I helped out a bit. And some of the questions that came out were tricky. And very clever people understand God's ways. Sometimes we've been in that context, and we got our Bible stories wrong, and they put their hands up. And no, I just want to explain to you, that wasn't Moses, it was Abraham. So wonderful, wonderful folk. Then we went back to the church, Glory of Christ. Oh, they can worship, an incredible worship, and love to just sing if opportunity comes. A lot of the young people got involved, so I really trust that our young people will start getting involved in worship and in expression of God's wonder. That's looking out at downtown Kigali. You know, we went in there the first time in May 2007, and they went through genocide in 1994, and the country was really going backwards. And through strong leadership, through Paul Kagame, that nation has really prospered. It really has prospered. And you go in there, there's order in Rwanda, more than here. Honestly, there's more order there. There's the crime. There is crime, petty crime, but the reality, you feel so safe when you walk down roads, the roads in Kigali. There, we just see an improvement. They're building buildings, hotels. It's just an incredible thing to see what God is doing in an African context. This is nowhere in Africa do you find anything like this. It's just a wonderful expression of God's goodness. There was a young couple from Brad's church. That's Brad and that's Stephen. And these are young South African couple that have moved to Kigali. And he's teaching in one of the schools there. He's got a master's degree, I think, in economics, and he's helping and he's teaching there. And they've humbled themselves. They don't have a car. They're battling financially, but God has just put them there, and they've got a testimony of God. What I found, they said, was astounding. To the biggest adjustment they made moving to Kigali was their children. The children couldn't walk around barefoot. There's a law I never knew in Rwanda that children have to wear shoes. They can't be outside without not wearing shoes. So I find that incredible. So they've said they Buddha, and then, you know, their kids always go around barefoot. Now they've got to wear shoes. So that's quite a challenge. And that's flying out of Kigali towards Burundi. The snake valleys with the rivers, absolutely beautiful, that part of the world. It was top of the clouds. Going to Burundi, and there we downtown Burundi, and you can see that was an early, I think it was one of the mornings where they, I think it was a Saturday morning where they had, they do a community service. That once a month they get together and everyone's got to stay in their homes and got to fix up their pavements and fix up their community. I think it would be a great idea in South Africa if we could do something like that. And here we met with the leaders that came from the Bukavu. It was Mapia. I'll show you their names there. Mapia and Janet from Bukavu, Stan from Bura, and Gad and Adele from Kigali all came together, and we spent with Brad and myself, we spent 3 days together. Right next to the lake, Tanganyika, there's Stanley and Gad. That is Stanley and Gad. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful men of God. That's the view out of the lake. We're looking across to the DRC, beautiful part of the world. That's downtown Bujumbura again. And there's Brad and I having breakfast in the morning. Still want to tell you something. The best coffee in the world comes from Burundi. It's absolutely amazing that this backwater can produce not sophisticated, but subsistence farmers actually grow the coffee, and you cannot believe wonderful that coffee is from that part of the world. So here we have Mapia and Adele and Janet and Gad. Wonderful, wonderful men of God. We met Mapia when we went to the first time to Bukavu, and at that time we were in a meeting, and we came back at lunchtime, and then all the pastors had disappeared, and we didn't know what was going on. And they said, no, the rebels said that they're actually attacking. They were 120 k's away, and all the pastors disappeared. So we went and prayed, and we had a prayer meeting, and we really prayed, and we interceded. And the next day, we heard that they'd actually gone back into the bush. So prayer actually works in those situations. So you can't run with fear. I think that came in one of the messages today. But I want to just say a thing about Mapia. He came and met us, and he came with such a humility. And there were two things he said to us. Not that we're anything better. He said, I'm looking for a father that I can be a son. And secondly, I'm looking for men that carry the presence of God. Because in their context, the culture doesn't allow for that so much. There are father figures, but being a son in the house, they always want to be superior. There's never a place where they can be son in the house. And that applies to women too. And he came and said, and he came in that place of submission. And it's been a wonderful road to walk with Mapia. But the thing that struck me the most, he said he wants to walk with people that carry something of the presence of God. And who are we? We are nothing. But God has revealed something of Christ and the outworking of his church that we do, like what God did today in our midst here today. I don't know if you understand what happened here today. The presence of God. You cannot manufacture that. You can't legalize that. You can't put it out, and you can't say, Lord, now do it. It's him. And there's something that if we get our hearts right and we do things according to his word, the presence of God actually comes. And I think that's just something of an incredible blessing that God wants us. And I want to just really believe God has said over this church, we will come, people will come into this place and experience the presence of God. And I think if that's what God has declared, we want to hold on to that. And there's something that we're doing in the Great Lakes. We want to bring, yes, we want to encourage leaders. We want to grow them and to do that. But we want to bring them to a place where they can, in a sense, model what God's done in our hearts, that they can experience the presence of God. They've got a lot of rah-rah and a lot of music, and their hearts are pure. But the presence of God is not always tangible. And we really want to help them because they get caught up in their culture, and the culture doesn't always allow them to bring the presence of God. So not that we know everything, we don't. We're learning from them. But there's something that God has given us that we need to go impart. So we need to see it outworked here, and we need to see it outworked in the nations. And there's Mappy and Janet. Isn't those wonderful smiles? Nikki, Janet says love to you. She just loves Nikki. We met her in Kibui many years ago, and she just loves Nikki. And that's, she's got 10 children, sorry. Yeah. And there's Adele and Gad, wonderful people of God. And there's Mappy and myself. And then we're sitting down for a meal. Let me just tell you something. There's something about meal times. Christians, believers in Jesus, eat together. There's something about a meal together. Yes, it's there's just that. Open up your homes and be hospitable. And just in eating together, there's something of that fellowship and that relationship that we build together. It's just that chit-chat over a meal does something incredible. And there's Brad that was with me. And I want to just say, this is a Greek Orthodox church cathedral in Bujumbura. And the Greeks had actually left many years ago and actually left Greece and had come to Bujumbura, and it was thriving, that there was a massive Greek community. There's still a Greek school there, but when all the troubles started there and all the rebels came, they actually left. But there was a rich inheritance where people left their foreign nations and they made incredible deposits. And just this time I've been there, I saw some more Greek folk actually coming back into the context, which is, it's encouraging. So there's been an inheritance that had gone into these contexts out of Europe. And here we have a meal together again. Let me just tell you, Dina, who's Stanley's wife, has a gift of hospitality and a gift of cooking. She does not have a gas stove. She does not have an electric oven. She does not have electricity. She cooks on charcoal. And you cannot believe the meals she produces. You know, they come back, their son Moses, he says to Mark, he says, I don't like broilers. You know what a broiler is? Our chicken. They like the chicken that runs around, and they slaughter it, and then they cook it. And I want to tell you, when you get over that, and you start to eat that chicken, there's nothing like that chicken. Free-range chicken, that is it. Wonderful. I must tell you a story once. We were there in their home, and they had a small home at that time, and they had one of these little ducks running around, and a little tether on it, you know, like a little ribbon on it. And you'd walk, and you'd step on the tether, and it'll look. So we've been there for a week, and then we come to the last meal, and Stanley, where's the duck? Ha, 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 ha. After the meal, I know you ate the duck today. They live in a real world. They carry the goats on the back of their bicycles. They eat the pig. They don't get attached. Stanley comes to my home here, and he says to me, you feed the birds. He says, we eat the birds. They can't understand sometimes the culture that we have. We love the birds. And there's the food, the wonderful food there. You know what? It's organic. They don't have the fertilizers. And we pay big prices for organic food here. It's just the natural food there. I just took some photos of the beauty of some of the flowers that was there. This is for you ladies. That's the view over the lake again. Some beautiful flowers there. Some of the gardens. That's the lake. That's looking from over the lake over Bujumbura. It's actually a very beautiful city. Very beautiful city. Gets very warm. There we see, and that on the other side is the DRC. Okay. There's a city called Uvira there, which is a bit broken. Now these two guys, this is John and that's Alan. Alan is ministering into Nigeria, into Lagos. From the DRC in Kinshasa, and John is in Paris. He's actually left, he's been there 9 years in Paris, and they've planted a church in Paris, and they're preaching the gospel. So the French are very anti-Christ, very, and they've gone there in this context and have gone to plant a church, and the French folk don't want to know about the noise. They don't want to know about the churches. They don't give us any of that thing. But they've gone in there and they're attracting people to Christ. So, you know, God is, that prophecy that came over South Africa, I believe it's for Africa, that there's a context of Africa's going to Europe and these places. And, you know, he gave the testimony. He's a wonderful man. He said, you know, when he left Kinshasa to go there, the difficult, very, very difficult. But God has been gracious and his God has blessed them. And the churches are growing there. And this is Fenery, and this is that's Stanley, and that's her husband, Emmanuel. Wonderful, wonderful couple. Just love God, but been through difficult times. They've been part of a legalistic church, and they've been ostracized, and actually they've got to a place where they've been kicked out. But we trust in God that they're going to be working with Stanley, and they're going to actually plant a church into that context. There's Moses, that's Stanley's son. He loves the Lord. Absolutely loves the Lord. You know, we say to him, Stanley, look at Moses. Can't we find a wife for him? Moses says, no, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He's not looking for a wife. If God wants to give me a wife, he'll give me a wife. So his intention is not to look for a wife, but actually just to serve the Lord and to be wholehearted for him. And he just out of Stanley's 8 children, this one is just such a special anointing upon him. He's studying in India, got a master's in economics and accounting, and can't get a job. There's no work in Burundi. The economy is so low in the thing. The church hasn't been able to pay its rent for 6 months. You know, it's just the economy is so low. People aren't earning income. So, you know, thank God they're subsistence farmers and they can eat. But in this context, we don't plant and get the food out of our gardens. The reality, we would suffer. We would really suffer. They managed to survive and live. And there's Brad smiling with his big beard. And then this is a Saturday morning. I went for a walk, and then the whole of Bujumbura is out to do their aerobics, and they're dancing on the side there with all their music. So they haven't got Virgin Active, but they got Active. And it's lovely to see. These are two little boys. I was walking down to the lake again, and there was two boys fishing, and I want to show you this. I think it is the video. Watch this video. I think we can hear anything. So they've got rod poles, a bit of line, a floater, and a hook, and he put some worms on it. There's a fish. Every time they cast in, they caught a fish. Little fish. How do they call it? Okay, the story I want to tell you about that, these boys, when I went down, the Lord like said to me, watch these boys. And they walked down to the water. They took their rods out, and then they put the bait on, and they're in, and they were catching a fish. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly about that and said, the way we do church and catching fish, because Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And so often the church has left it to the pastors to do the fishing. We all got to do our fishing. And if you put the right bait on and you're fishing the right pond, you're actually going to catch fish because they're under the water. You cannot see them, but you put that bait out. And then every single time they cast in, they caught. And it's not a big fish, it's the small fish. And I want to just say, God has given us a responsibility to preach the gospel, to catch fish, not just to put the hook out, but with the bait of Jesus' love, and then to hook them and to bring them into the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage us, God has got a great responsibility for the church. You are not here just to warm a seat. You're here to fish for men. Jesus didn't only call the 12, he called all of us to do that. So in the context that God has given you, in your workplace, wherever you find yourself, there are men and women that you need to be fishing for. And honestly, they are dying to hear this good news. We always have a thinking that they don't want to hear this good news. Actually, if you give them the good news and tell them how good it really is, they will want it. So I want to encourage you, get out there with the love of God, tell people about him, and put those hooks out there and bring them to Christ. Absolutely wonderful. So I want to encourage you with that. Then we had time with the leaders, the local leaders there. We were able to speak into their hearts. Just God's given us these incredible friendships there. And there's Metusela. He came and joined us for breakfast, and he's a character of note. I went to Metusela's church, and we started at 8 o'clock, and then we had a Bible school before, and I preached to the leaders, and then they started up their worship service. Wonderful thing here, there's a young guy named Prince. They've got a young worship leader who he loves music, and he's got a studio, but he started to make creative, upbeat music, and just got the church has changed in the last 5 years. It's all young people, just through music. It's a key, guys. It's a key. We've got to get our music to a place where we attract young people. So let's listen to what's happening there. No sound. Amen. And then Metusela and his wife and their elders. And these were two youngsters who were there. What wonderful faces. Okay, and that's just their program that they actually have. They also have busy lives. And then we went at a time before we left Bujumbura just to go and have a social time with Stanley and Metusela. And then this is a wonderful food they called Eggy Toki. And it's got potatoes, and there's sausage, and peas, and very, very nice. That's called ugali, which is our pup. They love the pup, and they make it like into bread rolls, and they love that. And when just before we were leaving, it was just like the Lord, there was no rain, but there was a rainbow in the sky as I went out. It was like a promise to God, just his pleasure. And then, I don't think if you can see, there's a double rainbow. A double rainbow appeared out of nowhere. So God is in charge of the elements too. He can speak to through the elements. He can reveal his wonder to us. Here's some of the flowers again. And that's leaving Burundi. There's some more music. What a friend we have in Jesus. Okay, that was getting a supply of coffee. And then I'm off to Uganda, and I meet Ben, and Ben takes me to his church. And these are, the church has just taken hold of all these young children. They are all orphans. HIV, I don't know if you realize, is massive in that context. And these kids are all orphaned, and the church has provided... got nothing, but they've got three teachers there. They've provided uniforms for the kids. They feed them and they're training them, and doing a great work in that context. And they sang a song to me, and your heart just breaks when you see young children that don't have mothers and fathers, but yet the church has taken up its responsibility. What has happened in genocide too in Rwanda? There were no orphanages to take put the children. The church opened up their homes. And most families had one or two children that were orphans from the genocide living through. And today, most of them are married, and just an incredible heart is that you can't always trust the government to make things work. The church is the answer. And God provided, incredibly provided, and just such a testimony. That's Ben, and that's his church at his pulpit. and we had three wonderful days with him. That's the church. He actually lives in a slum. Kampala is majority slum, where people have come in. You know, we see the squatter camps, but they call it slum, and it's crammed. And he said, no, well, God called me to minister to these people, and they built a church in the slum, and they're ministering in that context. That's the Jubilee Children's Care Center. That's their classroom that they've renovated to get to train the children. And then we went to be with his family. We had a meal together. And as I say again, you must, if they open up their homes to you and hospitable to you, they love liver. Do you eat liver? I see some people cringing. And liver, I like liver and onions, but liver cubes, and I didn't know what it was, where it was coming from, but I said, thank you, Lord, and ate this wonderful food, and we got through that one, but it came again. There's with the family there, and we drove from there. So we got a relationship with a guy through the work into Rwanda in the western Uganda, so we were going to go and visit him. So I said, Ben, how far is this place? He said, no, about 2-3 hours, 8 hours later. That's Ben and his wife Justine, a lovely lady. That's the road down from their home. That's downtown Kampala. Traffic. Oh, they got traffic there of note. Even Google Maps doesn't tell you much what to do there. And very much informal business sector on the side of the road. They buy all their beans and everything. Everywhere, everyone, the only way they can make money is to have a little shop. And so there's little shops everywhere selling their wares. So, yeah, and they're up till 2 o'clock in the morning selling their stuff. Okay, now this was on the road to Western Uganda. And on the side of the road, you see these people walking here carrying crosses. These are Catholic folk that are coming to commemorate people that were slaughtered in the late 1800s, just outside Kampala, and they were made saints in the Catholic Church, and they were coming to commemorate. They would walk up to 300 kilometers, day and night. It's like incredible. Old people walking on the side of the road, miles and miles of them. And I looked at this and I thought, Lord, I'm not condemning them, but they are such a passion for this thing. Where's our passion for you like that? Would we walk 300 kilometers for you? But yeah, they're walking for a commemoration of people that died in late 1800s and sold out for this thing. And it's like a whole region. There was even, I read in the newspaper, a man of in his 90s walked the 300 kilometers and got to this thing. So it was phenomenal. You know, the men and the women, the young children, you know, walking in slops, 300 kilometers walking in slops. Amazing. And there we are on the equator, between north and south in Uganda. And that were a very beautiful part of the world, very lush. The western side becomes more like the eastern Transvaal. And then we went into this town called Mabara. This guy's, we just met him, he's planting a church, and he wants to minister to the orphans and to the prostitutes. Because that city there is a main road link from Mombasa into Rwanda and into Burundi, and all the truck drivers come through there. So there's a massive outworking of prostitution there, and he's got a heart to go and minister to those women that are caught in that enslavement. And this was in Nguntuma, the area where we went to. I was surprised. There was a hotel that they booked me into. I couldn't believe that I could get such a beautiful hotel in the middle of nowhere for a very good price. So this is looking more like the Eastern Transvaal. That was in the town. The guys carry their bananas. Very friendly place. You know, we went and bought pineapples from this guy, fresh, and you eat it there and then. Absolutely beautiful. The postal service still works well in Tuntungamo. And these are the guys that I met. That's Willison. He's got leads a church here. That's Ben and that's George. He was the one that was dedicated to be our driver, but a wonderful driver. And then it was at Willison on his pulpit in his little church. That's his church. They've managed to put this church up, no floor properly yet, but they've got a church in a building operational, which is incredible. And here we ate together with the pastors. We met together, and that when liver came up again. And there's a picture outside. He's wonderful people. This man here, Richard, he's got that stick. He's an old man, But the reality, the stick actually represents something of authority. He's like an elder in the community, and that's why he carries that stick. And here, Andrew, and if you're here, but they also watch English football, and that's their cinema there that they watch. There they dry and coffee beans, and this is a church, another church plant. They just put up the scaffolding, and they put the tarpaulins over it, and there we went into this church, and they were meeting, and they were preaching, and just wonderful how God just works in the African context. Maybe it can't work here, but they just have a heart to plant churches and to go forward. They maybe lifestyle is very different. We've got too many distractions in our context. Their context is they love God and they want the church to grow. And they just go ahead and they do things that we would never dream of. So they were going after this meeting. They had a whole day. They were going to go and do crusades down at the marketplace and just trusting for people to come to Christ. There we were and they gave me this gift. They gave me a cake for coming to visit them. You know, they don't earn any money, and yeah, they bought this cake. You know, we could have spent the whole day there with them, but we had to get back to Kampala, and all smiley faces. And there was the depot of all the bananas from the area that are distributed right through, and that was a meal, very different meal. This is all banana, very very tasty, and the chicken. And they give their best, and there we were just sitting at their family and taking a photograph before we leave. And there's another local church. They've just got a plot of land and they've put this church up and people meet there. And yeah, just the commitment that they make. And there's a overloaded truck of bananas. And then we're going back to Kampala, and there's a busy night in Kampala. We got back and they called it the border, the motorbikes. It's just motorbikes everywhere. And then we met the next day with the pastors, and we had a meal together. Just wonderful, wonderful, just be able to share my heart with them. And, you know, they also have this incredible task of bringing people through and go through the same challenges that we do. And, you know, when they say come back again, you know, you got to hear God to go back into those contexts. But, you know, there's such a need to encourage them in that context. Okay, then flying back, I had to go back over to Kigali, back to Nairobi, just Lake Victoria, massive and beautiful. And there we get to Nairobi, and this is David Karu, a wonderful man of God, and his church is called Jesus Breakthrough Center. And I spent 3 days with him and his church and preached into the church with the leaders. Really a very intelligent man, a wonderful man of God. We had some really good times. Just wanted, this was a photo where we were staying at the golf course eventually. This thing of the elephant, the Lord really spoke to us through that. And I remember, I don't know if Johanna and them are not here today, but Johanna and them have got an elephant in their lounge. And he said to me one day, you've got to walk the elephant out of the room sometimes. And God just used this because sometimes in the church, when conflict arrives, we are scared to walk the elephant out of the room. We skirt around it. We don't talk about it. We're good Christians and we don't have conflict. And I want to say conflict sometimes is necessary to walk the elephant out of the room. And sometimes it's like a roaring elephant that is attacking you. But I'm telling you, God wants us to bring reconciliation in the circumstances in the church. We are not immune to conflict in the church. We're not immune to conflict in our marriages, but we need to walk the elephant out of the room. And it's a very important thing, and especially in the workplace, we've got abrasive people in the workplace, but I just want to say sometimes in this ministry of reconciliation God has given us, sometimes we've got to walk the elephant out of the room. This was eventually God's blessing. I stayed at the golf course, and this is the golf course that was right there. You got this blessing here, and across the road you got Africa. And what was interesting here, our kukui grass comes from this area. It doesn't come, we don't have it, it's not indigenous to here, it comes from Kenya. And there's Wanigi, where we were ministering, there's a little marketplace there. People, that's where they thrive. It was on the way to the church, and that's the church that we ministered in, Jesus Breakthrough Center. And they built this, and God is really using them powerfully. Just also, just this tree that was on the edge of the golf course, the Lord spoke to me through that also, is that he had this beautiful tree and had many flowers on it. And when I was looking at it, it attracted so many birds to it. And the sunbirds were eating the nectar and that. And I really just sense that's what we should be. God wants us as a church that we carry the blossom, we carry the flower. It's not Jesus. Jesus is the stem and the outworking of the fruitfulness is us. And we attract the people. Now, next to it was another tree that had flower on it, but there were no birds in it. So there's something of the nectar that we carry that's very attractive. And I'm telling you now, we need to be out there having this fragrance and this aroma of Christ that the world can see. Here were the leaders that met with us that day. A lot of ladies in the church. There we took some photos of them. Wonderful group of people. Wonderful ladies. This lady's name is Penina. Just loves God. And she's leading up the youth and doing a great job. And there's David. They drink a lot of tea in Kenya. Whenever we went to his office, there was the flask and there was tea. And I had to drink tea. And even though I love tea, it was tea and tea and tea. They love their tea. And this was a guy named Alan that had actually come to study a Bachelor of Theology in Nelspruit and was back in Kenya. We had a chance to chat to him. And this was the Sunday evening, some of the leaders that were with us. And then they took me out for a braai. And it was goat on the braai. And it was lekker. It was really good. You know, you've got to put your pride in your pocket when you're in Africa. You can't say, I don't want to eat this stuff. And when you say, okay, thank you, Lord, and you eat the stuff, it was really, really good. So at this table, we sat around as a family. They put this board out. You see the salt on the sides. And you get pap or insima or whatever the fuck call it, and you eat it. And it was really pleasant. Yama choma, they call it. And then this is the last day they honored the work there with an offering. And there, just at the end, there was this tractor. And I want to just say it was a very fruitful time of sowing seed, and we just trust for a great harvest at the end of the day. Amen. I just want to pray for us today. Thank you for your patience. But I want to just pray. Let's close our eyes, please. Father, we want to say thank you for your grace. That, Lord, the expression of your church, that, Lord, that we can have a testimony, an inheritance in the nations. And thank you, Lord, that you have opened up opportunity for this family, Lord, to have an outworking of the preaching of the gospel in the nations. But Lord, I do ask today that if there's anyone here today, that you would speak to their hearts about knowing you. So I ask you today, you might have come into this place today and you might know Jesus, but you don't know him. You've never allowed him to be Lord of your life, and you maybe know him as the third party, but not in the person. And if that's you today, and you might be in a place that you really want to recommit your life to Jesus, I just really believe these are the last days, and these times are serious, and we need to make right with God. We don't have the opportunity to wander. We don't have opportunity to have an offense in our heart. We don't have an opportunity to walk in unforgiveness. We need to be in a place where we have the freedom of forgiveness and the freedom of being washed and cleansed and whole. Maybe that's you today, and with no eye looking, and you just want to just raise your hand, and I'd like to pray for you. Is anyone here today that you want to respond to Jesus today and come back to him because he is Lord? Is anyone here today? Thank you, Lord. And also, Lord, I just want to pray for everyone today as we reminded all those years ago that this was Pentecost Sunday, that the Spirit was poured out. I pray for everyone today, Lord, that again that we'll be filled with your Spirit. That your Spirit would come and infuse, and as we heard in the meeting, the fire of God would be a reality over everyone here today. So will you take your people into the fullness of your grace, into the fullness of knowing Christ, into the fullness of following him and obeying him. May the things of the past grow strangely dim as we have our eyes fixed upon you and we see your glory and your wonder. So take your people into their inheritance in you, Lord. We thank you for your grace now. In Jesus' name, amen. So in last, there's a word in Swahili, karibu. It means welcome.